back. Hi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Knock Knock High with the Glockenfleckens. I am Dr. Glockenflecken, also known as Will Flannery.
I am Lady Glockenflecken, also known as Kristen Flannery.
You can call us whatever you want, though. And
hey,
we're,
you.
Hey, podcast people. I had somebody recognize me. They usually don't recognize me from the podcast because, you know, usually it's like the skits for my face is like right up in their own face.
Yeah.
So, they called me the TikTok guy.
TikTok, yeah, that's right. We were on the street in New York City, of all places, and somebody goes, "Hey, are you the TikTok guy?" You're like, "You're going to have to be a little more specific."
I have to assume that yes, I am the TikTok guy.
Yes, you are on TikTok.
There are a lot of guys on TikTok, but I am one of them.
Yes.
I am one of many. our New York trip was fun.
It was so much fun.
So we went as part of Heart Month. And courtesy of the American Heart Association,
that's
doing
right.
a lot of advocacy around CPR and cardiac arrest.
Yes.
And we spent
Coast
a few days out there. My first time since high school going to New York.
Yep.
And your first time.
My first time ever.
Period.
I had never been to New York City. So
yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I did feel that we were there with a bunch of like TikTok influencers.
Yep.
You know, and I felt very old, even though they were like about our age, they were just like cooler, right? Like I felt very like I'm a suburban mom in the big city, you know? Like it's never been more clear how uncool we are than when you put us with a bunch of people like that.
Yeah, it made me realize I really should do something with my hair.
Like literally anything.
Like anything.
Yeah.
Like
right.
I don't know.
Just try a little.
I just In like the fashion that we saw.
Yeah.
You looked good, but I
was still even underdressed. Like those people all got some memo that I did not get. I thought I was following the instructions on the invitations.
I looked like
but
someone who's never worn something that's not scrubs in like the past 5 years.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
And it was all of a sudden trying to dress up. That's what I looked like.
We felt very out of place.
You would look at me while I was in New York at these fancy events, and you would think, oh, that's his first time.
Putting on a suit, ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
good effort.
Good, yeah. You tried. There's an attempt there.
Yeah.
But I am, and I'm also like, I'm weird proportions. I've got like,
well, we both are, and in opposite directions.
Yeah, you're short everything, I'm long everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like my arms and legs are not the right size for my torso, and same for you. So, but other direction.
So, besides that, we had a great time.
It was really fun.
It really was. We went to TikTok headquarters in New York.
Yes.
And it was a very interesting experience. A lot of security.
So much
very
security.
Much, like
lots.
You can't in the lobby. It's a very nondescript building. Mm-hmm. Like they clearly don't want to advertise the fact that this is a TikTok headquarters building. Not so with other buildings in New York.
Right.
I mean,
they've
signs
got their
everywhere.
Name just slapped on them in neon or whatever.
But you couldn't take any photos in the lobby because again, they don't want people to know this is where TikTok
where it
is.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, obviously we had like to sign forms and stuff to get up there as a guest.
I think we had to like show our ID, have
but
our
it was like,
picture
it was
taken.
Like, it was like 50 something floor up there above Times Square.
Yeah.
And we were able to look down on the ball.
Right.
The
New York New Year's ball.
New Year's ball thing. And just awesome view and really cool inside. Lots of LED displays and decorations. And they had great food.
Very colorful.
For us there.
Yeah.
And,
it was awesome.
Yeah. It seemed like a fun place to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to do some photo ops with all these other more famous people than us.
Yes.
Including Dr. Mike. Got to spend some time with Dr. Mike.
You guys were cute together. You like were giggling a lot. It was very cute.
We had a
cute.
Good time. It was,
I feel like you guys like
just hanging out,
connected.
Well,
like,
yeah,
you got
it was our first time to actually meet
and,
in person.
Yeah.
We had done the podcast with him, and,
right?
But we were the only. No, there were two other physicians there.
Two.
It was
others?
Me, Mike, and
Mauricio Gonzalez.
Mauricio Gonzalez. Yeah.
There.
Yep. And so
he's one person.
There's three of us to go.
Oh, three total.
Three
I thought,
total
okay.
physicians.
Gotcha.
I am a physician.
Right.
You know.
I always
Do you forget that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, it was great. It was really fun just to to do this for Heart Month and to yes, talk about.
Yes, we were there not just for funsies. We were there to do some CPR advocacy and awareness work.
We did a little bit of fun.
It was fun too.
We got some New York pizza.
Yeah, that's good. We did. What was it? Joe's?
Joe's Pizza.
Yeah, someone will have to tell us. Did we do it right?
it tasted right, everyone. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about our guests today, huh?
Okay,
let's do it. We have Dr. Sylvia Owusu-Ansah and Dr. Raquel Tripp. So Dr. Owusu-Ansah is an associate professor of pediatrics and emergency medicine at University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, also EMS medical director at UPMC Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh.
That's right.
And Dr. Tripp is the UPMC Department of Emergency Medicine and is part of the Department of EMS as well. So they are both extremely accomplished, and they've come together to form an organization called ACOMA United. ACOMA United is a nonprofit that works to raise money to provide CPR and CPR education to underserved communities, women, younger generation, and get them interested and engaged in learning CPR.
And they go out to the community rather than having, you know, the community have to come to the hospital to learn. So that's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. People reach out to them through their website, acomaunited.com, and say, hey, we want to, you know, learn more about this. You know, we want you to help teach our organization or our community. And they go out there and do it, which is fantastic. And we talk all about it, but that's the way to really start making a difference with CPR education is just hands-on right there, face-to-face, really spreading the word about CPR.
Yeah, people within your own community teaching you about it, you know, is always going to go a lot farther.
It's great. And so we had a wonderful time talking with them about that. Should we get to it?
Let's go.
All right. Here is Dr. Sylvia Owusu-Ansah and Dr. Raquel Tripp. Today's episode is brought to you by the Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience, or DAX for short. This is AI-powered ambient technology that helps physicians be more efficient and reduces clinical documentation burden. To learn more about how DAX Copilot can help you reduce burnout and restore the joy of practicing medicine, stick around after the episode or visit nuance.com/discover-DAX. That's nuance.com/discover-DAX. All right, we are so excited to welcome Dr. Raquel Tripp and Dr. Sylvia Owusu-Ansah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, and you're both coming to us from Pittsburgh, right? I've never been. Have you been to Pittsburgh?
No, I'm not sure I've ever been to Pennsylvania. Oh. Surely we've driven through it.
Tell what's your favorite thing about Pittsburgh? Tell us a little bit about Pittsburgh. We're curious.
I don't know what. Well, I would have to say I can start off first because I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh, so it's, you know, it's in the veins.
Yeah.
So of course I have to say, you know, being a Steelers fan, you're in Steel Country, so be prepared that the black and yellow is strong. You know, and you always have to go to Permanis to get your Permanis Brothers. Was in food and then also you know, Three Rivers. So I would have to say one of the most beautiful skyline with Pittsburgh when you are coming in and out of the tunnels from the mountains, you get to see these three rivers expanding. And so I would say that, you know, that's why it's a love for me. But
Sylvia, were you born and raised in Pittsburgh?
I was not. I am a Bostonian through and through. Go Patriots.
All right.
I know. But I want to remind everybody, especially of our generation, that this is Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And so I do actually live on the street that Mr. Rogers used to live on. And so
really?
And Pittsburgh represents that. And kind of getting into probably what we'll be talking about today. Dr. Peter Safer perfected the art of CPR here, and the first EMS paramedics were from here in the Hill Districts of Pittsburgh, the Freedom House Ambulance Company, which were 25 black men. So there's a lot that happens in the pit that's very relevant to healthcare.
This is we're recording this in February. This will come out kind of early March, but February is Heart Month. Among other things, it's a really important month for us, and for both of you as well, with the work that you do surrounding CPR and cardiac arrest and everything. So there's a lot we want to get into with you guys, but let's start off with, you're both emergency medicine trained physicians, correct? I have that right? All right. And did you meet?
Hold on. It looks like maybe.
Oh, did I get that wrong?
Lady G is so observant. It's so observant. Let me just say that I wear the unicorn helmet.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Very different.
I am Pem. Pem. Yes. Pediatric emergency medicine. Wow. She is so intuitive. I love it.
This is what she does.
I know. I love it, Lady G.
She keeps me accurate.
He doesn't notice anything changing in front of him ever at all. I have to pick up the slack.
I do my best. I'm trying. But yeah, so I guess let's start with how you two came together to work together, both in your career and with Acoma United and some of the other things that you do. So how long has this partnership been a thing with you two?
I think since the first time we met, was it about 7 or 8 years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, recognizing that, especially being Black women in emergency medicine and also in EMS, we are very few of us. There's more of us progressing now, but we actually went to a fellowship medical director's course, and I looked across the room and I was like, "Who's that chocolate thing over there?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, I need to meet her, because she's the only Black woman in this entire room." And so that's how Sylvia and I first met, and then I was in Pittsburgh doing my EMS fellowship. Sylvia was at Johns Hopkins doing her fellowship. Mm. And so then we in Pittsburgh were trying to recruit Sylvia. And so Sylvia came over, and I took her husband, who was a former firefighter, paramedic, was in DC, Maryland area. And he did a ride along with me. And I'm over here, like, I'm like, yeah, grab these bags, here we go. And I didn't know that he at all was associated with Sylvia until I literally dropped him off to Sylvia. I was like, wait a minute, this is your husband? And then that's, I would say, how it continued growing with like a friendship. And then I'll throw the baton over to Sylvia, then talk about how we progressed for like Acoma United.
Yeah. And so it just only seemed natural because I'm peds and she's adult, but we're both EMS physicians and EM physicians. So, you know, we like to say that we take care of folks from like 0 to 100, basically. And so we have been doing a lot of work in the community around CPR. And we noticed that people were clued into the fact that we were African-American women talking about heart health, talking about children, talking about CPR. And it's almost like they didn't know we existed. And so we saw the power of that. And we said, we need to come together and do something for our community. And so hence Acoma United came into being, because we recognized that when we went to these community outings, that it went from like, okay, so if my child starts choking, you know, then what do I do? And then my heart, I've been having palpitations, you know, and then we're like, okay, we can bring that to you, whereas opposed to other healthcare mm-hmm. professionals might not be able to bring that knowledge and expertise. So Ricky and I got together and said, we need to get this together. We need to do this for our community.
Yeah.
And Acoma stems from, sorry, Ricky, and then I'll finish here. But Acoma stands for a heart in my parents' language. So my parents are from Ghana, West Africa, from the Ashanti tribe. You might be familiar with the Kente cloth and some of the art. And so it literally means heart, goodwill, endurance. So we felt that was the right name to choose to pick.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great. And one of the, reading all of your accomplishments, the things that you guys have done surrounding cardiac arrest and CPR is fantastic. But one thing that you mentioned the Steelers already, but your work for D1 athletes and doing a lot of CPR education around that. Can you talk about that a bit? I'd say that as like the Super Bowl's coming up and I'm like a huge Chiefs fan. So I've been, sorry. I know. But the Chiefs are the only one in the playoffs out of all the teams that are, you know, represented here. Anyway, neither here nor there, but tell me.
I was going to say, the Patriots have to pass the torch on to somebody, I guess, right?
Hey, you've had your Super Bowls, okay? You can just...
By the time this airs, this will all be very old news, and everybody will be like,
exactly. Oh, the Super Bowl has already happened, and I might be eating my words here. Anyway, I do want to hear more about this, though, and kind of what you've learned from this process and in teaching athletes, because obviously there's been a lot in the news, especially surrounding Damar Hamlin last couple of years, about sudden cardiac arrest in young athletes. So just talk about your experience.
Yeah, so we would be remiss not to mention Damar. He's from Pittsburgh. He's from McKees Rocks. And it really started with a gathering for him while he was in the hospital, while he was in the ICU, praying for him to come out. And we decided to teach CPR. And that was his hometown community of McKees Rocks, PA. And we decided to use that opportunity to teach CPR. Damar actually got to watch us live stream, pray for him, and walked out that day of the hospital.
Oh, it's amazing.
And little beknownst to us, there was a little firecracker, Miss Celeste Welsh, who was in charge of media and community engagement for Pitt, the Pitt Panthers, who's also from McKees Rocks, and said, we got to do this. We got to do this for our athletes. Now, I had sent an email to Coach Narduzzi, but there was just so much emotion, as you can imagine, you know, with him being the native son, you know, people didn't weren't sure what was going to happen. So I didn't get any responses initially, but she came through and she said, we're doing this. So literally a week later, we were able to gather over 30 healthcare providers, from like EMS students on campus to emergency medicine doctors to nurses. And we trained all 105 football players, Pitt football players, in early February. And then it just snowballed from there. We decided we can't stop there. We got to do all the teams. And we are now at 380 athletes out of 500.
That's awesome.
And we have one save. And so we can't really get too much into the save, but we have one save out of 380 yeah. athletes.
Wow. That's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Who are, it's in my experience in being in some training environments, people that have never done chest compressions are always so surprised mm-hmm. by how difficult it is. Right. Did you get a lot of that feedback from these, you know, big, strong football players? Are they like,
right,
wow.
Yeah, like, are they tired?
I'm so surprised. Like, this is harder than I thought it would yeah. be.
So we actually do it's funny that you say that. We know that they're competitors and we know they're athletes. So we do a 2-minute challenge at the end.
There you go.
I have to say, Lady G, this was inspired by you. So we were in the audience last year when you came to the National Association of EMS Physicians. We yeah. were in the audience listening to you. And the fact that you had like 1,500 EMS medical directors and EMS clinicians speechless says everything already. But, you know, recognizing how tiring it could be and that they were athletes, we decided to put together this 2-minute challenge. So they have really good time with that. They pick somebody within their group. And, you know, we had the, shall I say, the baseball players were twerking, and the, you know, everybody's like, you know, every group, the wrestling team was very cerebral. The soccer team was very appreciative, and they had people from all over the world, which was great, because then they can take that back to Colombia and Brazil right. and Spain. And, so no, I mean, they got through it, but a lot of them said how tiring it was. In fact, even being athletes.
I would like to join you sometime. I'm kind of kidding, but kind of not. I would like to join you sometime. Me, I'm 5'2" maybe, tiny little. I'd like to do a Lady Glockenflecken 10-minute challenge with all these Ooh. Great big football players.
I think you've already started the idea. It needs to be #. Lady G challenge.
I want somebody
right?
to do it 10 minutes. Right. Not yeah. me. I've already done it. I've proven.
You have gone. Yeah.
I can't do
yourself.
That again. But I want them to see little old me, yeah. and then have these great big football players try to do it for 10 minutes. I think that'd be really funny. Maybe I have a very morbid sense of humor.
No, but... I'm with you. It's true.
No, that is great.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And especially because we have like the female and male athletes. And so definitely yeah. we can, you know, see the resilience yes. and the strength.
Yeah. Like if I can
yes,
do it.
Exactly.
Do it. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's you know, and as something you always say, it's not a complicated maneuver, right?
Right? It's very tiring.
Anybody can learn how to do it, right? It's just, you know, when you do it for, there's a reason why when you're in a hospital setting and there's multiple people who are able to do chest compressions, you trade off every 2 minutes mm-hmm. because it right. it can be really tiring. In fact, I'll tell one quick story. We were in New York this past week mm-hmm. and it was an American Heart Association event. And so a lot of advocacy around chest compressions. And there was a big group of us and they did kind of similar to what you two are talking about. It was a challenge to see who could do the most effective chest compressions. And we ran into like in heats of 4 people, and the winner would go on to the next round. I was in a heat. I was the only medical professional in my heat. And so I was thinking, oh man,
like you've got this in the bag.
I got this.
Yeah.
I finished last. I finished last.
Oh, wow.
It was the most, and this is like, this is streamed live on TikTok.
Yeah, and it was like a bunch of like TikTok dancer type people, right? Like,
well, you know, when you're in top tier, it's very hard to distinguish, you know, when you're in top tier.
That is true.
Depending on time. Yeah.
And I just, I blame the fact that I'm an ophthalmologist and I haven't, you know, there's very limited opportunities to do chest compressions,
there are.
But it was a good opportunity to like, to show, hey, look, see, anybody can do this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you don't have to be a physician. You don't have to be a
He tried to blame it on his mannequin that it wasn't, that it was a defective.
Yes.
Yep. I was like, no.
And so you're continuing to do the work with athletes now? Cause you're like, what's the next step? Are you just, you know, cause I guess every year more come in.
Right. So that's the conversation we're having now. How do we keep this sustainable and probably bringing in our own healthcare institution? We also, in this period of time, you know, educated an additional like 200 to 300 folks in our community. So we've co-led over 600 people in the past year, including I got to teach CPR to our first ever Black mayor, Mayor Ed Gainey, who had never done CPR before on February 2nd during our local AHA rally. So definitely getting the word out there. But yeah, we want to continue with the athletes. I originally wanted to do like I'm all about the challenges, right? You know, in medicine, we're so competitive. So I almost wanted to do like Pitt versus Ohio State.
Oh, you should. Yeah. That's such a great idea.
So hopefully,
absolutely.
You know, Celeste being a little bit more, you know, fair than I am was like, we kind of started already. Maybe you want to start fresh. You know, want to challenge somebody when you've already done like 300 athletes and say, hey, catch up kind of thing. But yeah, so we're always rearing for ideas to spread the word.
How about the Steelers? Have you extended to the professional ranks? In sports.
I would say we're working on that. So I had to say, like, so this is my first year being on the sideline. And so, but I would say that for my particular role was more for the visiting group, but definitely, you know, you got to like, you know, kind of gingerly come in there, especially as like, you know, the female of like, hey, y'all, what about this idea?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like Lady G, you know, like, put an idea, making sure that they feel like it's their own, and then it goes.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, you know, so you gotta kind of like, you know, put it in there, plant the seed, and then just keep fertilizing it, and then it will, you know, come to. But I will say that we did have an event with, because we've been teaching schools, so school-age children, so we did have an event where we did have two Steelers players come in, and, you know, and we came up to them and like, yo,
oh, that's great.
Can you play dead real quick? And they're like, bet, I got you. And so
I will
take a sleep. And so literally we had, you know, one of the huge, you know, 6'5", you know, Steelers players just like walk and then drop.
Sure.
And then we're like, now what do you do? And they're like, oh my God, the Steeler is down. I know he is. But however, we need to save him. So, you know, so that's why I would say that definitely the Steelers have been helpful. We've been trying to join in because the NFL does have the 60 war, you know, for really having CPR generating. But yes, but we're working it in a bit more for like the Steelers and for the Pirates and then, you know, the Penguins. So, yes, it's in the mix.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I know this will be airing outside of February, but, you know, February, we do a lot of CPR awareness, like we've kind of mentioned already. And for me, I kind of have this dual CPR awareness mentality, right? Of there's the CPR awareness to the general public, right? Which is CPR can be, when it's needed, it can be just an extremely effective life-saving, you know, intervention that is, you know, easy. Anyone can do all of these things, right? Everything that you guys are doing. And then on the flip side, I feel like I've been shouting into the void for the last 4 years of also be aware, you know, on the other side of it, to the healthcare professionals, to the CPR instructors, to the people that are asking people to learn CPR, which you absolutely should do, to be aware that doing CPR on someone, particularly if they are someone you know, is actually a very traumatic thing, or it can be very traumatic. Because essentially, if you're doing CPR, that means that person is dead under your hands. And you know, I could go into all the nitty gritty details about that, but it's, you see things and you hear things and you do things that are all very kind of disturbing to just a general, you know, layperson, bystander, responder. So I don't know. Do you guys factor that into your work at all? And it's a little bit different because you're working with like professionals and athletes and things like that. It's not that you're working with like family members, you know, in the homes. But do you factor that in at all? I'm curious, especially after having seen my talk. You know, is that, I'm always thinking about that of like, what can we do to support those people? So is that something, what do you guys think? What, you know, from your perspective, what can we do that we're not doing right now?
So I definitely think you brought that call to action. We actually do at Pittsburgh have what's called the Pittsburgh Cardiac Arrest Survival Center. And that's what it's awesome. About. And when I say Pittsburgh and CPR, and that is the collaborative group that we work with to teach CPR. And so we provide resources to folks and families. Because you, as you can imagine, with over like 600 people, a few people have been like, I actually had cardiac arrest. I was actually revived, or I actually performed cardiac arrest on somebody. And so we have those resources at the University of Pittsburgh for families at all stages, whether they perform the CPR, whether they were the recipient of CPR, whether they're around when the CPR was happening. So we're very cognizant of that. And even in our youngest group, our focus, meaning, so we do middle school CPR too. We've done that 3 years in a row. We started at the height of the pandemic. So we do seventh graders. And the focus there is more the cognition of it, the idea that I can help, but knowing to your point that it can be traumatic. So focusing less on the 100 to 120 beats per minute and push hard, push fast, but more on how do we get over that hurdle of like being paralyzed, not being able to help, and then kind of what happens afterwards, because it's probably going to be a loved one. So we do shed light on that, and we do collaborate with people who specialize in that space. They're called PIT CCAS. So awesome group. And without them, we couldn't have done the 600 people. And they've done even probably even more out in the community as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check out their work. I don't know that I've heard of them before.
And I was going to say, add just in addition that individually, when we're doing a demonstrations, we've had people come up to us, like even on February 2nd, one of the sons of a volunteer, he actually had CPR that was performed on him at the age of 13. Mm-hmm. And he did not want to actually participate in doing it, but reassuring people about that it's okay if you do not want to participate, just knowing that, and then, you know, really reinforcing to the family of how important. And so when, and we've had situations where people are like, you know what, yes, because we also do stop the bleed training too, like, you know, having trauma, you know, happening. And just when you're doing the demonstration, recognizing that a lot of times you have to be that support person to really reassure people that, you know, in that situation, that there is going to be fear, there is going to be anxiety, it's going to be adrenaline for you to want to do something. And even afterwards, you know, even, you know, when you have, you know, you feel like you have regret or like, oh, I should have done more, to reassure people that you did as much as you could. And to recognize and tell people like, this person is dead. Like literally, no matter what divine intervention you have, this person is dead. Like you are trying to bring them back to life, and that is out of your hands. You know, it wasn't, but however, you do have some power in your hands to at least start that process to bring them back to life. But again, overall, the, you know, picture, you have to realize what this is happening in front of you. So that's the other thing, that in the moment when you're doing the demonstrations, recognizing that, that you may have to take people aside to really reassure them for what they're doing and have that positivity and that they can still do this no matter what.
Right. Yeah. You can only work with what you're given, you know? So you, what you're doing with CPR is you're giving that person the best chance they can have at being able to be brought back to life. But sometimes, you know, they just are not in a situation where they, where it's possible for them, even with perfect CPR, to come back to life. So, you know, I think there's a lot of, kind of anxiety and guilt sometimes, you know, when someone does CPR and it doesn't save the person. But you know, it's more about what was going on in that person's body probably than it was about, you know, if you were doing CPR, you were doing everything that could be done, you know?
So. And we have those discussions, especially with the kids and the athletes. We talk about the Good Samaritan law, meaning that you are not at fault. And there are certain things you just need to leave up to the doctors we can fix. We talk about the broken ribs and we talk about the clicking,
right.
You know, depending on the age group, that doctors can fix broken ribs, but we can't fix dead brain. But even if that person doesn't survive, none of that is on you, you know, not to carry that burden or carry that guilt, know that you were a hero regardless. So yeah, we try to have that holistic approach and then we have the additional support.
The broken ribs thing and the broken sternum, people really can seem to fixate on that, you know, like
well, it's traumatic.
You're right.
It's traumatic.
And it's like letting them know, listen, this person is dead. Like,
right.
If you, you might break their ribs and that's okay. By the way, she did not break any of my ribs. I don't know how you did. I still don't know how that happened.
I don't know. Is that good or bad?
Less work for us. No. I mean, you were phenomenal last year. I was just like, okay, we need to talk to the
I'm curious, was it always going to be emergency medicine for you two? Did you think about going into other fields? So Sylvia, did you consider something else before emergency medicine?
So
piqued your interest or pediatrics?
So it's interesting that you tell the story. So my I grew up in part with my biological father and my stepfather. My biological father was an optometrist who, back in the day with Kodak, we had the black room that I wasn't allowed to open the door. And guess what was waiting for me in the basement were retinas. Pictures of retina. I'm sorry.
Pictures. I was envisioning jars of retina.
Oh, sorry. I should be more direct.
Like in the dark basement,
and like Stranger Things kind of like, ooh, what's happening?
Yeah.
No, sorry. The old school where you had to use the developer in the tray. And so on a clothing line were pictures.
Look at that. Wow.
On the back. And he's like, isn't this the most beautiful thing? And I... Unfortunately, did not.
You're like, I guess. I don't know.
But connect. But in all honesty, initially I started off OB-GYN, Omaha. I wanted to catch the babies and do the things.
Yeah.
But then recognized that I was once the baby was out, I was more interested in what they were doing over at the nursery. And then I kind of lost touch with what was happening with the poor mom. So I was like, I might need to switch over what I'm going to do, which is pediatrics.
Yeah. Right.
And then from pediatrics, so how is it did you do pediatrics first and then you went into emergency medicine from pediatrics? I'm not sure how.
So I did all peds. So I did a general pediatrics residency and then I did a pediatric emergency medicine fellowship. So I took a year. So I took about a couple years off in between. My husband decided he wanted to go from industrial mechanic to firefighter, a paramedic. And so we couldn't both be doing the training thing. So he was doing the fire training academy, paramedic academy. And I was working in the ED as a general pediatrician, which most people don't know. In the adult world, you can't do that. But in the pediatric world, you can be a general pediatrician and work in the emergency department, just not in the trauma area. So that's kind of what I did.
I didn't realize that actually.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I did that, but I was like, I want to do all the fun things. I don't want to be over here. And they're like, you need a fellowship. And I'm like, okay, I can't do that now. So long story short, did the fellowship. And then my husband, I would go on ride-alongs with him. And then I was really intrigued. So then I did the EMS thing. So I did an additional EMS fellowship. Right. Here I am.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Wow.
What about
you? She likes to learn a lot more than you do.
That's the thing. And you're absolutely correct. Yes. When I finished residency, I was like, no way in hell you're ever getting me in another year of training.
That is fair.
But that's just me. There is this thing in medicine where you can keep doing fellowships.
Yeah.
There's never an end. There's never an end to the supply of fellowships that you can do. But Ricky, you came from a very different background with being a flight surgeon in the Navy.
Yes. So for me, my journey, I decided to go into the military to pay for medical school because I realized how large a debt people were coming out. And so my father is very militant, even though he was never in the military. And he'll wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning anyway. And I was like, and Sylvia knows I'm not a fashionista at all. So I was like, yeah, tell me what I need to wear. I'm already waking up at the same time. I might as well just go ahead and get paid for so that I don't have these loans. And so that then led me to having to pay back some of my time. With the Navy, initially, you have to do an internship at a naval facility. And so at that time, I was interested in actually urology. I had seen a neobladder and I had seen a I know, a penile phallus that was made from like a skin flap from a forearm. And I was like, this is Sophia's reaction. I know. So I had to say, like, I was like, urology is all I got. I know. I know. But however, it was just like the mixture of that. But I would say that as I became a flight surgeon, because in the Navy, when you're doing your scholarship, it's called the Health Professional Scholarship Program. At that period of time, once you finish your intern year and you got your medical license, so you did your step three board, 50% of us at that time had either do a general medical officer tour called a GMO, or we could go into residency and continue on. And so I had to do a GMO tour. And with the GMO tour, you can just be a primary care doctor, or you can go into undersea medicine or flight aviation medicine. And so I talked to all the flight surgeons and everybody was like, oh my gosh, that was the coolest thing ever. And I was like, I need to be in the coolest thing ever. I need to be where it's awesome. And, you know, and then I need to have, you know, you have that Top Gun, Tom Cruise experience where you're like, I want to walk down in my flight suit
with
like that slow motion. And then like, you know, that 80s music in the back. And so,
of course.
So I became a flight surgeon for a year.
So you got that experience. It was accurate, right? That's how it is.
I would say like one of the things that we do, like you, like for, you know, for breakfast, you only eat bananas because they taste the same going in as they come out. So bananas is what pilots will have. It's true. Definitely proven.
Yeah.
And then I never thought that I'd ever like fly a plane or, you know, fly a helicopter. And so rotary was my, my platform. So helicopters. So I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I was the command wing flight surgeon, and doing all of that, especially with military medicine, that's what then moved me away from urology over into emergency medicine and to EMS. So that's how my kind of trajectory went.
But do you still get a little excited when a urology case comes into the, a urology patient comes into the emergency?
Yes.
I will.
Oh, you've had an erection for 4 hours. I got the doctor for you. Just wait right here.
Yes, exactly.
All the things.
It's true.
I will say on a more serious note, though, a couple years ago, my husband got diagnosed with renal cancer. And, you know, when you hear the word cancer, and I know this is personal for you both as well, like everything, I was in that patient seat, right? Where everything went out, I was like, wah, 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 you know, Charlie Brown's mom. And she brought me down. She's like, oh, I remember my urology stuff. Okay, what kind of cancer was that? Okay, all they got to do is, I think, take the kidney out and then no chemo, no radiation, you're good. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. And then of course, the urologist comes in and says exactly the same thing. And I was like, well, thank God for that urology knowledge. Cause I was just like, my husband's dying.
Right. It's a scary word.
It's very scary, right?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. And it was great to reassure and also to, cause I think, you know, especially when you have people coming to you, and especially when you are in the medical field and now something has happened to you and you're like, what the hell? So to help Sylvia and her husband, you know, Jason at that time, and being like, listen, it's okay. Make sure that he stays, get the CT scan. Like, you know, like literally,
he was running. You got two kidneys.
That's why you got a duplicate system.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just like reassuring these things. And one kidney, you can still have a fantastic life. You can still do everything that you want to do in life and be happy. And so that was me just like, okay, I'm just like, I'm here for you. And I'll be that boulder that you need to lie in.
Yeah. I'm all about that duplicate system with the eyes. You know,
that's true.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
Well, speaking of urology, duplicate down there is, that didn't help me out as much.
It just meant you got to do it twice.
Oh my goodness.
But I say over and over again, I've said testicles are a bit overrated. That's all. It's just like, come on, you can get by without them. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, exciting announcement. Do you want to tell them or should I?
Oh, you can.
I'm so excited. Due to popular demand, we're adding more live shows in California. Sunday, March 10th, we'll be at the San Jose Improv. And on Sunday, March 24th, we're returning to the Irvine Improv to share our amazing story called Wife and Death.
Yeah, we'll talk about that time you died.
And came back to life.
It'll be a tragicomic, multimedia, memoir, stage show extravaganza.
You gotta check it out. To buy tickets, click the link in the description below, or you can go to glockenflecken.com/live. We'll see you there. Hey, Kristen.
What's up?
I got to tell you about Precision.
Tell me.
This is really cool. It's the first ever EHR integrated infectious disease AI platform.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's for any specific patient. It'll automatically highlight better antibiotic regimens.
Okay, so it can maybe help you treat the patient better and then also gets at this antibiotic stewardship issue?
Exactly. It basically empowers clinicians to save more lives while reducing burnout, just making their jobs easier.
Nice.
To see a demo, go to precision.com/KKH. That's precision spelled with an X instead of an E. So precision.com/KKH. Okay, we are back with Dr. Tripp and Dr. Owusu-Ansa. And one thing, Ricky, I want to, you mentioned this to us before we started recording, but since you brought up, you know, talked about being a flight surgeon and being doing like the whole, you know, walking in slow motion out to the cockpit and everything. And, you know, so I'm sure you have a call sign, right? Like what, Top Gun, what were the, it was like,
Maverick and Goose.
Rooster. Was there a rooster? I don't know if it was a rooster. Anyway, so I'm dying to know, what was yours?
So, you know, there's always, you know, a conditioning when you decide to join a squadron. And so my call sign, which at first I was like, yeah, but then they broke it down. I was like, oh, no. So my call sign was Dr. Dre. So, of course, I was like, West Coast music. I was like, dun, 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 do a little crip walk for a second. But however, I then found out that it's actually Dr. D-R-E, digital rectal exam. So,
oh,
yes. So
that is different.
Very different because
very different.
I was out of three flight surgeons, I was the only female. And so I was the only one that had the smallest fingers. And so my clinic was always full compared to my male colleagues because I had the women that wanted to do their pap smears, the winning having a woman. And I also had all the older men that when they had their prostate exam, they were like, I ain't going with them. I want a woman. Your fingers are small. Slip in and out, in and out. And then they're like, and then sometimes they were like, you want to have dinner first? I was like, you're making this even more awkward than it needs to be. Like literally, let's just get this done. Yep. I'm using the lube. Don't worry. And I'm going to be in and out. That's it. So that's where Dr. Dre or Dr. D-R-E came from for my call sign.
You got pigeonholed a bit as the rectal exam doctor. Okay. All right. How long did that last?
It was a long time. Even some of the wives of like the pilots would come to me and be like, you know what? You saw my husband naked too. And I was like, I don't know.
Oh boy.
This is awkward.
Okay.
This is awkward.
Yeah.
And I was like, check out these fried tomatoes. Oh, they're so delicious.
Yeah.
I was like,
did you ever get them back for naming you?
Yeah,
not necessarily, I would have to say. I mean, I would say, I guess my comeback was, thank you so much, Lady G, for bringing this up. My comeback was every time that I would fly, I would always tell them that we about to fly in the vagina pit. We're not the cockpit. And they were like, what? And I was like, exactly, the vagina pit. Today it is. Let's go. Give me that collective.
I like that. I think I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, interestingly, I said this until like a high school type of like, you know, mentorship. And I will say a parent came back and was like, you can't say vagina. And I was like, they're in high school. They need to know about what a vagina and penis is. So I was like, let's go with anatomy.
That's that urology.
Exactly. Testicles, you know, all that.
Right.
They need to know everything. Mammary glands.
It's just anatomy.
Exactly. Anatomy. So yeah. So that's the only thing I would say that I did get back was, yes, everyone knew that, here comes Doc. And we're going to bite in your vagina pit today. And I was like, that is correct.
Oh my goodness.
That's what we're about to do. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad all these experiences have shaped your life so much to the point to where you are now. It's served you well.
And I work at McGee, which is the Women's Health and the Women's Hospital. Yes, so there you go.
There you go.
Actually, urology was always going to be with me,
yeah,
no matter what.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, and then so you talked about how this entity, Acoma United, you know, developed. It started with the Damar Hamlin and doing advocacy around that event. How long after that did you form this organization of yours? Was it just like, oh, we got to do something a bit more organized here? This is there's really an opportunity to really reach out to the community. So did you start this kind of right after that? Is that when it really started to pick up?
I would say the idea probably came even before then, but we're just so busy because, again, we have a middle school pathway program and we have a Save a Life Day that we've been doing since the height of the pandemic in 2020.
Okay, you keep adding things that you're doing. What's the deal here?
I know.
How many hours in a day are there in Pittsburgh?
Well, there's anyway. Two of them.
Yeah, that's, there's two of us. So
that's
we
share, true.
Yeah, we split the load. So I think it's always been lurking. I think, you know, the Damar Hamlin thing was that just kind of put us over.
Sure.
And then we did a couple of community engagements, again, like I said, after the Damar Hamlin gathering, and people just within the community just came straight to us, even though we were collaborating with other people. And so Ricky and I said, we just have to do something. So probably about a couple months afterwards, and just the idea of it, we had a lot of community leaders and collaborators say, yeah, we'll get you going. We had Joe Macero from Macero Construction, who set up something for us. We had our Keenan Holmes from Ebony Law did like our filing for a discount. Like the community just jumped on board, and even our own institution, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, UPMC, we spoke to their lawyers as well, making sure that, you know, we're working together collaboratively. Mm-hmm. And they were all for it and wanted to support us in this. And so it just kind of took a life of its own. It's one of those things that, you know, as you know, we're already doing it. Like EM doctors, that's what CPR is what we do. Stop the Bleed is what we do. So it just made sense after several community gatherings, I think back to back, and the reception that we received from our community.
Yeah.
And so now you're a few years into Acoma United. What does it look like now?
I'm sure. And I just wanted to add in just a little bit too, is one of the things with the National Association EMSP, I was our DEI committee. And so that's one of the things that Sylvia and myself basically joined in and formed the task force to a committee. And one of the things that was found from the research was that, especially in communities of color, having the less amount of bystander response and AED placement, and recognizing that, especially within those communities, that's another reason why that drove us to really form Acoma United. And then when we go into these communities, especially where there's been a lot of historically marginalized with having experimentation and things where medicine and science has not been that great within these marginalized communities, and being able to come in there as being a person that I look like you, and people being like, wow, I could be a doctor. Or we're like, are you guys really doctors? Like, you guys are so down to earth and you're answering our questions and things. And then to develop that mentorship and have people realize that, like, I am an advocate for you. When you, like, I've even had people call me like, are you in the ED today? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, okay, I think I can wait. When are you going to be in the ED? And, you know, and at first, of course, I'm like, you should, if it's an emergency, you need to go to the emergency department. Like, don't wait until my shift. But it's one of those things that, you know, that's why we wanted to really form Acoma United too, to really address those, you know, prominent issues within these communities of color where, you know, we're having people that are dying because there has not been any response. And so that's why we wanted to make sure that we're targeting that area. Now, I will say that how it's looking now, was some things that we are continuing to doing, you know, trying to, you know, broadcast, you know, market, you know, that we are in existence, go to different community centers, and then also organizations and teaching them. And then, you know, the last one they did was focused on renewal, and that was in McKees Rocks. And it was interesting that people were like, wow, like, I feel like I actually learned something. Because, you know, like, when you do BLS instructor classes and things like that, like, you know, sometimes people are just like, all right, good, just give me my card and then I'm ready to go. But after, you know, when we actually taught, like, they're like, wow, I feel like I actually feel enlightened. I feel empowered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and thank you so much for Acoma United. And so that's one of the things that we want to make sure that we are giving that back into the community, is that empowerment that you can save life, and every life is worth saving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's great. I love it. It's such a good example of just starting on the ground level, you know, in your community. And it's just, it's a takeaway that I think everybody can draw from, in their own community, right? Because a lot of CPR education is like person to person, like, hey, you know, we really need to increase the numbers. Like, we could actually save lives here in this community that we're in. And so seeing a success story like yours, I think can hopefully inspire people to do it where they live.
Yeah, so. Just some grassroots, you know, whatever you've got available. It's not complicated. Like I said, it's not a complicated maneuver. So, anybody can do it. You guys are proof.
Well, I do have, in the spirit of CPR, I have a little activity game for us to play here. Now, this is usually one where we've done this a couple times where I just kind of embarrass myself, but we're going to try.
This is my favorite one.
Yes. Yeah, so,
I know we're all like,
this is,
it's a low bar though.
Okay. Yes. This it's is actually don't have like a good name for this game. Mm-hmm. Humdinger is the classic thing from that game Cranium.
Oh, okay.
Where
you
hum a song
and
then everybody's got to guess what song it is.
Okay.
But these are all songs that you can do CPR to.
Yes,
okay. The right tempo.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Let's see.
So,
Sylvia, this is how like, you grew. Because I'm not going to get it right.
Don't put it on me. No. Don't put it on me, girl. Come on.
Okay.
Okay. We got this.
We'll see.
Am I guessing too?
Yeah, you can throw it out if you know it. You know, you're pretty bad at this though, too.
Okay.
Like, you're not
so
great.
Are you. So.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
I mean, it might be me, but
I was going to say, right, again, you can only work with what you're given.
All right. That's true. All right, here we go. Hmm. Hmm.
We should be doing this the other way around.
Okay.
They should be humming.
That's what I'm talking about, Sylvia.
We do this all the time.
Sorry. I know. I was like,
imagine our CPR classes sometimes the participants are like, can we bring it back?
Focus. Yeah. Focus. Yeah. Dance party. Yeah.
So I didn't include Staying Alive because everyone knows Staying Alive.
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny.
Maybe some people aren't fans of the Bee Gees. I don't know.
I mean, at this point, do people even know about them anymore? We're getting old.
Oh, hold on a second. All right. Here we go. Next one. Girls just want to have fun. Cyndi Lauper. Like, nice job. All right.
I was like,
Living on a Prayer.
You'll make it, I swear.
Oh.
There you go. There you go. All right, we got two more.
Snap. Okay, there's more.
There we go. I got more.
But the kid is not my son.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
I'm
sorry. That's her favorite.
That is always like, can we get some Michael Jackson in?
Good.
That's the only one I got.
Yeah. You knew that one right away.
And if you're just joining into the podcast at this moment, these are songs you can do CPR to.
Yes. That's right.
All right.
Coming to a mercy department near you. There
all
you
right.
go.
Yes.
Last one.
I don't know the words either. Yes.
That was it. You guys got all of them. Look at that.
Yeah.
That was good.
They're good.
I want to take a CPR class from
you
too. My goodness.
Guys are a party.
I mean, come on. We're ready.
Yes.
Well, the whole purpose of Macomb United is to come to the community. So we will come to, community near you. That is the sole purpose of, you know, it's really hard for certain communities to come to institutions and learn. And so we say we will come to you, like Uber Eats and Grubhub and everything else that's coming to people nowadays. Amazon.
Right.
So tell us where people can find more information about Acoma United.
Fantastic. Well, you can check out our website with www.acomaunited.com. And you'll get to see a lot of the latest things that we've been involved in from, different podcasts, from different news articles, things in that nature. And then also how to get a hold of us. And so we have like a phone number there. We have email address. So definitely if you are interested in having Acoma United come to, a place near you, definitely feel free to reach out to us. And definitely, as you can see, we have fun with our CPR class because we realize that people when they enjoy and recognizing that, you know, this is something that is very serious, but really, you know, saving a life is important for all of us to learn, no matter what age you are.
And that's Acoma United, Acoma United. What, anything else you want people to know about before we
What do you have coming up next?
Wrap up here? What else is going on in your lives?
So I will say I just had a call with the American Heart Association, and I did a family video of CPR, and we challenged the NAEMSP, and they did a video with CPR. And so now for June, stay tuned. We're working on a dance challenge for CPR education through the American Heart Association. And the goal is to challenge somebody else, some other family, some other institute. And so that's coming up soon. For Acoma United, to make this work, we need the funding. And so we're going to continue to do what we're doing. We're next going to one of the high schools in the Hill District, one of the underserved schools, and getting all of those kids their BLS certification for high school graduation. So that's our next step. But doing some work with some other healthcare systems. We also do work around diversity, equity, inclusion. So those are next steps. If you want to see pictures of athletes and folks doing the thing or doing CPR, you can see that on my Instagram page at Owusu, OWUSUMD on Instagram. So I post a lot of our CPR photos on there too.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Well, it's please keep up this amazing work you're doing. I love seeing and hearing about, you know, the positive impact you're having in the community and just helping a lot of people. It's fantastic. So keep that up.
Yeah, definitely.
And thank you so much for joining us. It really was a pleasure.
Thank you. It was a wonderful pleasure. Yes, great opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, I just have one plug. Can we get a helmet with a siren on it for all those EMS physicians out there? I was thinking you could have EM physicians with multiple personalities, like an ultrasound probe, med ed, toxicologist, and a siren.
A siren. I got it.
Amazing.
A helmet with a siren.
With
a light.
With the lights. Yeah. Yep.
I love that.
Exactly.
And I am working on a toxicologist too, because I remember being an intern in an internal in emergency medicine and just calling up the toxicologist, the poison control, whoever it was, and just like them telling me exactly what to do. It'd be like, thank you, Mr. Toxicologist, or whoever it was.
They are brilliant people. They are brilliant.
Fantastic. Yes. So yeah, good ideas. No thank you problem. So much. All right. That's about it. So thanks, guys. Take care and keep up the awesome
thank
work.
You so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah.
How many mites is too many mites?
For me, one.
Well, I have eight.
That's way too many.
That's a lot of mites, right?
No one wants that many mites.
You know where you find these guys?
I'm afraid to know.
On your eyelids.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want that.
I know, but like, if you ever have red, itchy, irritated eyelids, or if you get a crusty, flaky buildup on your eyelashes, could be because of Demodex blepharitis.
Ugh. No.
It's caused by these guys.
I don't know. Demodex I don't want
mites.
It.
It's just a thing that happens. They're usually not this big, though.
Well, that's good.
Usually.
Usually
they're much smaller than this, but they can still cause major problems. And so you need to go get it checked out by an eye doctor.
Okay.
Don't get grossed out.
Get checked out.
Get checked out. All right. Don't get grossed out. Get checked out. To find out more, you go to eyelidcheck.com. Again, that's EYELID check, CHECK.com to get more information about Demodex blepharitis. Oh, they were a lot of fun.
They were so much fun. I just kind of want to hang out with them. They're fun.
I think I did better with my humming this time around.
Yeah, I think so. There were only a few times that I just couldn't tell at all what you were doing.
I did practice a little bit.
Did you?
I did. I feel like I really needed to bring it this time and do some humming practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's intimidating to just hum on the spot while recording. No, you did good. It was good.
Oh, thanks. Oh, that was I love what they're doing, and a great way to I know this is in March now, but to kind of end Heart Month.
Right. Yeah. Every month can be Heart Month.
That's true. You can think about hearts other months.
Your heart is beating every month, every day. So yeah, CPR is useful anytime.
Yes, absolutely. So should we do a story?
Let's do it.
So fan story from Robert. Robert says, hi, I'm a UK listener who really enjoys the podcast. I thought you might enjoy this story. Earlier this year, I managed to break my leg really badly. That's no good. And found myself in the care of the ortho bros. Mm-hmm. We love ortho bros.
Yeah.
After multiple operations, I came out in a rash following an allergic reaction to the antibiotics.
That's no good.
On the ward round, I was examined by some of the junior orthopedic doctors. They began to discuss what to do about the rash. And before I could stop, I heard myself saying, oh, yeah, what a relief. A good reason to refer to medicine bros in my finest Glockenflecken impersonation. I was quite embarrassed, but fortunately, it turns out that the junior doctors are both Glockenflecken fans as well. They both started laughing. And later presented my case to the attending with full ortho bro mannerisms.
No, that's awesome. He took a swing.
He took a
Could
swing.
Could have been a miss.
I think it worked.
It connected.
Thank you for that story, Robert. And send us your stories. knockknockhi@human-content.com. Tell us what you thought about the episode today. We'd love to hear your thoughts. What's going on in your community surrounding cardiac arrest? Are you working on some? We'd love to hear from you and give you a shout out on the podcast if you have some kind of initiative surrounding cardiac arrest, CPR.
Yeah.
We love highlighting those types of stories like we did today. So let us know. We'll give you a shout out. Lots of ways to hit us up. You can email us, knockknockhi@human-content.com. Visit us on all of our social media channels. You can hang out with us and the Human Content Podcast family on Instagram and TikTok @HumanContentPods. Thanks to all the great listeners leaving feedback and reviews. We love those reviews. Love them.
Yep.
Absolutely love them. It's great.
Well, you know, I'm a marketer. I'm always interested in like, hey, what do you like? What do you not like? How can we make this for you?
If you subscribe and comment on your favorite podcasting app and on YouTube, we can give you a shout out. Like today at Letter Lady Z on YouTube said, as the episode ended, my 4-year-old sitting on my lap and playing on a tablet said with it, knock, knock, goodbye.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. It's the best thing I've heard all day. Keep the episodes coming. That's awesome. Thank you for your 4-year-old.
Yeah.
We got 4-year-old fans.
I guess so. They at least like our song. So that's really Omer that, you know, we have to thank for that. But
full video episodes are up every week on my YouTube channel at @DGlockenfleck. And we also have a Patreon. Lots of fun perks, bonus episodes, or react to medical shows and movies. We did The Office recently.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Hang out with other members of the Knock Knock High community. We're there. We're active in it. We are in the Chamber of Commerce. We've got others in there. We've got a town hall meeting coming up, every so often. We do that. Early ad-free episode access, interactive Q&A live stream events, and much more. Go to patreon.com/Glockenflecken or go to Glockenflecken.com. Speaking of Patreon community perks, new member shout out. Mohammed L and Mr.
Meeblesnorp.
Meeblesnorp.
I love it.
Mohammed L and Mr. Meeblesnorp.
Welcome to both of you.
Yes. And shout out, as always, to the Jonathans. We have Patrick, Lucia C, Sharon S, Omer, Edward K, Stephen G, Jonathan F, Marion W, Mr. Granddaddy, Caitlin C, Brianna L, KL, Keith G, JJ H, Derek N, Mary H, Susanna F, Jenny J, Mohammed K, Aviga, Parker, Ryan, Mohammed L, Medical Meg, Bubbly Salt, and Pink Macho. Thank you all. A virtual head nod to you all. Patreon roulette, random shout out to someone on the emergency medicine tier. Shout out to Paul S. for being a patron. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
And thank you all for listening. We are your hosts, Will and Krista Planer, also known as the Glockenflecken. Special thanks to our guests, Dr. Sylvia Owusu-Ansah and Dr. Raquel Tripp. Our executive producers are Will Flannery, Kristen Flannery, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brook. Editor and engineers Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omer Bensvi. To learn about our Knock Knock High's program disclaimer and ethics policy, submission verification, licensing terms, and HIPAA release terms, go to glockandflickin.com or reach out to us, knockknockhigh@human-content.com, with any questions, concerns, or fun medical puns.
I think you should start doing that section in a different character's voice every time.
Oh, yeah? I think I should do like an ortho thing or maybe a neurologist or something.
Yeah, just go through the list, you know?
What up? Knock Knock High is a human content production, bro. Hey, Kristen.
Yeah.
Healthcare workers are struggling these days.
I know. There's a lot of burnout.
A lot of administrative burden that's driving that burnout.
Yeah, it's certainly a major contributor.
Clinicians spend up to 2 hours on administrative tasks for each hour of care provided to the patient.
Yeah, that should not be the ratio.
That's not sustainable.
No.
Fortunately, we have the Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience, or DAX for short.
Well, is that why you've got your little friend there?
Oh, you noticed.
Oh, I did.
Yes, this is the DAX co-pilot.
He's very cute.
Isn't he? He's got wings. He's there to fly us to a world of less burnout.
All right.
And more efficiency by giving us this AI-powered ambient technology that sits there in the room with you while you're with the patient, and it helps you document the encounter. So you can spend more time developing that patient-clinician relationship.
That's right. You don't have to be looking at your computer. It's capturing it for you.
It's great. To learn more about how DAX Copilot can help reduce burnout and restore the joy of practicing medicine, stick around after the episode or visit nuance.com/discoverDAX. That's NUANCE.com/discoverDAX.